Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar, broadcasting from my home studio. The first doses of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine arrived in Pennsylvania December 14th. A week later, the vaccine manufactured by Moderna was delivered. According to the Pennsylvania Department of Health, 1.8 million doses have been delivered as of last Thursday. However, less than 50% of the doses have actually been administered. The effort to get people who the state has identified as eligible, those in what was designated as 1A, has not gone smoothly. How, where, and when to get what could be a life-saving vaccination is the biggest topic of conversation in Pennsylvania right now, especially amongst those who are eligible but can't get appointments to get a shot. Our entire program will be devoted today to the vaccine distribution, its execution, what can be improved, and the way forward. Our first guest on the program today is April Hutchison. She's the Director of Communications for the Pennsylvania Department of Health. April Hutchison, welcome to the program. Pennsylvania has administered about half of its vaccines. Why has the rollout been slower than expected?
So, Scott, that's an excellent question. It's important to remember that the numbers that you're hearing from the federal government and the total doses that we're getting are not just people's first dose, but their second dose. So for instance, of that 1.8 million number that you mentioned, 930,150 of those doses were for people's first dose. That's for new people to get vaccinated. And of that, we've actually administered 77% of people's first doses of vaccine. We have 784,700 doses that are for people's second dose, and about 20% have been administered to date. So what happens is that a pharmacy or, you know, a hospital will get your first dose of vaccine, and then a couple weeks later will get your second dose of vaccine for you to come in and get that dose. So there's going to be a bit of a lag, but it's really important to remember that when you talk about the total amount of vaccine that's been delivered, half of it, almost half of it, has to be saved for people's second doses. We talk about this, you know, if you think about taking an antibiotic, right? If I have a sinus infection and my doctor prescribes amoxicillin and they say, take it for 10 days to get your full effect of the medication. And after 5 days, I feel better and I don't finish the next 5 days. When I get sick the next time with the sinus infection, that antibiotic might not work, and I might have to go to something stronger. That's the same kind of idea with this vaccine, is that one dose gives you some protection, but you really do need both doses to have full protection, especially when we have, you know, variants of the virus that are now starting to appear in Pennsylvania and throughout the country, where we know this virus is going to mutate, it is going to change. We want to give people as much immunity as possible to have the best effect from the immunizations.
All right, April, I have to ask though, 77% of who? Because when 1A was expanded, it went to well over, it added 3.5 million people to the first tier, and we have half of those doses in Pennsylvania. So 77% of who have gotten their first shots?
So that again, 1.8 million is the first and second shots. We're looking at, really, if you really want to compare apples to apples, we're looking at 930,150 doses have been received for people's first shots. 77% of those first shots have been administered, and that's to long-term care facilities through the Federal Pharmacy Partnership. That's to healthcare workers through the hospitals and federally qualified healthcare centers. And then that is to those who are 65 and older, and individuals 16 to 64 with certain, what we call comorbidities. That is who is getting that vaccine. The key underlying thing here, and to remember, is that there just isn't enough vaccine made in the United States. There is no way for us to vaccinate everybody who is in one category because there's just not enough vaccine.
I just, you know, I don't want to quibble on the math, but it's important because when that 3.5 million was added, we're talking about over 4 million people, 77% of those 4 million people in 1A have not gotten their first shots. When you're talking 930,000 people.
That's what we have available. 930,000 is what we have received for people's first shots. We know that there, you know, and the federal government knew this as well when they were increasing the age bracket and the expanding essentially category 1A, that there wasn't going to be enough vaccine immediately, but that there would be enough vaccine. The concern is that this population has been so impacted by COVID-19. We know that, you know, 88% of our deaths happen in 65 and older, that we wanted to make sure that we can protect those folks and save lives. So, Scott, the underlying is that there isn't enough vaccine, even in this country, to fulfill this mission immediately. It is going to take time. This week, Pennsylvania is getting 166,000 first doses of vaccine delivered to all of our vaccine providers throughout the week. And, you know, we still are working through that long-term care mission to get nursing homes, personal care homes, assisted living facilities vaccinated. We're still working on getting healthcare workers and those who aren't part of a healthcare system vaccinated. So we're working through those categories. We are making progress, but the important thing and underlying thing is that just simply just not enough vaccine being made yet.
I think that, you know, a lot of people realize that, but first of all, as I said, I don't quite understand the math. Now, maybe I'm missing something, but I want to move on. The state has expanded Tier 1A. Those eligible to be vaccinated. And that was following the direction of the federal government. But when it became clear that there weren't enough doses to go around to fulfill the number of vaccinations that the Tier 1A needed here in Pennsylvania, why not back off? Because that's when the real confusion started. That's when so many Pennsylvanians in this state were not able to get appointments to get their vaccination.
It's one of the reasons why we really ask people to be patient with this process, that we are letting you know that you are next up, but that it might take time to get to you. And obviously, when we have such a high demand product in terms of the vaccine, everyone wanted to be first in line. We are going to continue to work as we get more vaccine, as we get through even the long-term care mission that should be wrapping up end of February, beginning of March. That will provide more vaccine to be able to move that into the 65 plus and the 16 to 64. It's just going to take us time. I mean, it really, you know, public health has said since the onset of even the vaccine being developed is that it's going to take time. We want to let you know that you are next in line. We want to let you know that you have been prioritized because we are trying to work to save lives, but that it is going to take time. And yes, you may not be able to get an appointment today, but next month you will be able to. And so as we get more vaccine, as more is being made, as more is being allocated to Pennsylvania, we can then push that out and get more people vaccinated.
But April, other states have done a better job of getting higher percentages of their people vaccinated. I mean, they've been in the same situation as Pennsylvania as far as what they were told by the federal government and the number of doses that they have received. I mean, I see the Pennsylvania is ranked anywhere from the middle of the pack to 45th in the country, depending on what measurement you use. Why is Pennsylvania lagging behind these other states? I mean, West Virginia leads the nation. West Virginia is very rarely first in anything, but West Virginia leads the country in the percentage of people that they've gotten vaccinated. So why is Pennsylvania lagging behind the rest of the country?
So Scott, and I will say that in terms of your data, it really depends on which data source that you're looking at. If you look on the CDC's website in terms of the number of first doses administered, we are fifth in the nation and in the top 10 for the number of second doses administered. Every state has been left to do this on its own. There was a playbook that was given to the states from the CDC, but every state was left to do this on its own. And it's very difficult, even within Pennsylvania, to compare population within one county to another. And that's the same thing with states. West Virginia didn't participate in the Federal Pharmacy Partnership because it has significantly less long-term care and skilled nursing facilities. And so Pennsylvania chose to participate with the Federal Pharmacy Partnership because of the sheer scale of what we're doing. It's very, very difficult, and it's not comparing apples to apples in terms of population. We are looking at very different populations. We are looking at very different age brackets. And again, just skilled nursing facilities alone, we have almost 700 of them in Pennsylvania, which is way more than what West Virginia has. So it's easier to work through some of those processes. Again, and then we have states that have pushed out all of their second doses with the hope that they're going to have that second dose, there. Pennsylvania is making sure that we do have people who are fully vaccinated because there is no guarantee when that second dose is going to appear that you're going to have enough vaccine. You're going to see some states have to stop vaccinating people for their first doses to be able to catch up with that second dose. And so they'll actually have to take a break from vaccinating new people to make sure that the people behind them get their second dose. So there is, it is very difficult to compare state to state because no one is doing it the same. Everybody is doing it differently. Everybody's using different resources. Everybody's allocating their vaccine differently. Right now, of our Pfizer allocation, we have 64% of that going to the long-term care mission. When that mission is completed, that 64% of the Pfizer vaccine can then go to the other parts of our mission. But in Pennsylvania, we're making sure that you get that second dose because we know that how important that full immunity is. And we can't essentially bank bank on the fact that we're actually that if we give out all of the first doses, if we get out everything that we have, that there will be a second dose available for you. We can't bank on that. We can't guarantee it without actually securing those doses.
Well, Pennsylvania is fifth in the country because we have the sixth largest population. And what I was talking about was percentages when you're comparing state to state. Let's take a phone call from Mike in Camp Hill. Mike, you're on the air.
Thanks, Scott, and it's a great program. I acknowledge how difficult it is to vaccinate 350 million Americans. No doubt, it's a colossal effort. Second, I had found it impossible to reach the Department of Health by phone, so I'm profoundly grateful for the chance to talk for 1 minute. I would like to have the Department of Health hear that, number one, you're saying a lot of different things that don't jive with each other, ma'am. The fact is you're vaccinating people who are not in nursing homes or care facilities. I have a lot of friends my age, 70 and older, who are vaccinated. They're not in nursing homes. Now, I also would tell you that it is literally impossible to get on a list right now to try to be vaccinated. So I'm very angry and frustrated. It's a horrible feeling to see people I know getting vaccinated because they were on a list weeks ago, and now you just can't get vaccinated. And then my question is, why don't you just go back to what you did originally, 75 and older or 70 and older, and do it by age? It's very simple. Do it by age.
Mike, thank you very much for your question.
One other thing. How long does the vaccine last that they're saying they haven't gotten into arms? Will that last for weeks or days or months?
And by the way, we have a doctor coming up who can maybe answer that question a little bit better. But April, he made several points there that we have heard stories of people who may not be eligible who are getting shots. Now, part of that is because there are pharmacists out there or those administering the shots who don't want to waste them. They have a shelf life and they want to make sure that they don't waste those shots. But there are some people out there. But the point that Mike makes about going back to the original plan, that was a question I wanted to ask as well. I mean, Pennsylvania expanded Tier 1A at the direction of the federal government, but then the federal government didn't come through with the number of doses that we thought we were going to get. Wouldn't it have made more sense to just backtrack and say, wait, we don't have the doses we thought we were going to get. Here's where we are. We will expand when we have those doses in hand.
Scott, that's an excellent question. And sometimes, you know, in terms of, again, the patients and keeping folks informed, what we have said is we want to expand to these individuals that the federal government has identified. And, you know, in that sense, these are the individuals who are most at risk of getting severely ill and dying from COVID-19, but that we know we don't have enough vaccine, but once we do, you're next. And so it's just a matter of, yes, it is a frustrating process right now because there isn't enough there aren't enough appointments, there aren't enough people. You know, one of the things that we have to keep in mind in this entire rollout is that we have used every resource in Pennsylvania on the response. That is from our healthcare partners to the National Guard to, you know, our infection control folks. Every resource that we can bring to bear just on responding to keep people, you know, to stop the spread of the infection. We're now turning around and relying on that same network to implement a vaccination that is the largest vaccination effort in our country to date. And so we do have to have patience in this process. It is impossible to get through, you know, before we expanded 1A, there wasn't enough vaccine, you know, in the country or even in the country to be able to do that for just the healthcare workers and those in skilled nursing facilities. So we're working through that process. It is going to take time. It absolutely is going to take time. If there is more vaccine, and hopefully, you know, Pennsylvania got about 20,000 more doses this week than we had last week. If that continues to increase, and as we get through some of these facilities that we can then reallocate what we were sending there, we can begin to open up that funnel. But again, I definitely understand and appreciate the frustration. We are relying on an entire network that has been strained to its absolute max to do this amazing effort to vaccinate an entire country. We have to keep that into perspective.
I think that most people can keep it into perspective, but at the same time, you're asking people to be patient. And I agree with you. I you know, this is a major, major undertaking. In fact, we've never done anything like this in history. So understand that, but you're also asking people to be patient when we're talking about a virus that can kill them. And so patience is something that they have to weigh against that fear as well. Currently, hospitals and pharmacies are administering the shots, but they don't know how many doses that they're getting. Wouldn't a centralized place to get an appointment work better? I mean, this is what other states, not all of them, but some other states are doing, that they have a central place where people can go, whether it's a website, phone number, whatever, and make appointments.
So, you know, Scott, the states with centralized locations and states with decentralized locations, at the end of the day, have the same exact problem, and that is not enough vaccine. So in the centralized locations, there are people who have appointments for June. You're going to have patients, you know, and so you have to have patients and wait till June to get your vaccine because you registered through a centralized registration system. In Florida, they tried it and their registration system crashed within minutes. And then you had people who were standing in line for hours waiting to get in to get their vaccine. They've stopped that system. In California, you're looking at up to June before you can get vaccinated. The bottom line is it doesn't matter what registration system you use. If there isn't enough vaccine, there's just not enough vaccine. So one of the things, you know, when we went with a decentralized system, one of the things that we were looking at also is the fact that, you know, in terms of the provider, that you know your pharmacist best, you know your doctor best, you know your healthcare system best. And so that personal relationship is also important when you're dealing with an issue of fear. We have been, you know, dealing with fear since the first cases were identified in March of last year. It's hard to believe that we've been dealing with this for an entire year.
Really.
But as we learn more, as we can do more, we can expand those efforts. There isn't a solution that's a one size fits all. There isn't a magic wand that we can, you know, put over this to make more vaccine magically appear and get everybody an appointment who's waiting for one. It is going to simply take time. And we simply have to know that the things that we're doing right now with, you know, social distancing and wearing masks and washing hands, that those things have to continue. The vaccine is important. It isn't a magic bullet. And I think that's the other part here, that we're looking at this as a magic bullet. The vaccine, you know, if you were to get, Scott, if you were to get your vaccine today, you still have to wear a mask and social distance and wash hands, because although you may not get the virus or get as sick from the virus, you could still spread it to somebody who will. And so until we reach that mass of the population, what we call herd immunity, we're still going to have to make sure that we're very, very careful.
I have a couple questions here from listeners. One is, there are some counties in Pennsylvania that have health departments, others that don't. Does it make it easier to get an appointment to get the vaccination if a county has a health department that can coordinate some of this?
It depends on which county you're in. I know that Montgomery County and the Philadelphia area has done a great job at that. I know that in Bucks County, they have not had any vaccine clinics, you know, for residents. So part of that does depend on the local health department and the effectiveness of that health department.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the big frustrations, April, is that, like our earlier caller said, he was trying to reach the Department of Health and, you know, can't get an answer. But many people are trying to get an appointment, websites crashing, phone numbers, you know, phones busy. People, you're hearing stories of people making 10, 12, 15 calls a day to try to get an appointment. You're hearing stories of people living in one county going to another because for some reason Lehigh County seems to be doing a pretty decent job of getting shots into arms. What do you say to those people who are frustrated? How can they get a shot? How can they get an appointment?
You know, Scott, it's the same thing that I say to my own family members, and that is that it's going to take time. You are going to get vaccinated. If you want to get a vaccine, you are going to get vaccinated, but it's going to take time. You know, it is going to take time. You know, we are working, and the vaccine providers themselves are working as hard as we can, as hard as they can. This isn't a vaccine, to keep put it into perspective, like your flu shot that you could walk up to the counter, get your flu shot, and you're on your way within a minute and a half. This is, you know, one person can administer 4 vaccines an hour at minimum. You know, we do need to wait for and watch for a reaction. So you do have to have that time. You also have to have the space. It is very logistically challenging just to administer the vaccine. It's logistically challenging just to be able to store the vaccine and to transport the vaccine. You know, we are hopeful that as we look at even the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, that it will be a game changer for us, because that will be a one-dose vaccine. You don't have to come back to the same place to get your next shot. and, you know, one dose and you're on your way. You know, at the same time that, you know, I'm in there trying to make my first appointment, somebody else is trying to make their second appointment. So every person who gets a vaccine at a location has to go back 3 or 4 weeks later to get their second shot to that same location at the same time that new people are trying to make appointments to get their first shot. It is, you know, obviously the logistics of just all of that is a challenge for the nation, and everyone is having a similar challenge.
But, you know, April, and again, I'm not here to lecture. My goal is to inform people as to how to best go about this. But this would seem to be a good time to pull stakeholders together and figure out what works and what could work better. Because there are a lot of people, I think people understand that there just aren't enough shots, but there are a lot of people who are thinking that this just isn't working the way it is. Has it been considered that we pull stakeholders together and say, okay, what can we do better? How can we make this rollout better?
We actually continually do that. So we're talking with the pharmacists have been, you know, with us and helping to plan it since the beginning. The hospital partners have been with us to plan since the beginning. Our partners at the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency, you know, looking at putting together community vaccination clinics, have been with us since the very beginning. So we have been working with all of those partners, listening to all of those voices and trying to come up with the best strategy, you know, possible for Pennsylvania. We are continually looking at how do we make this better? How do we get vaccine to these providers more quickly? How do we get more providers through our system more quickly? You know, the entire process of trying to make this all happen. It is going to take time, and the bottom line is you can have the best plan in place, you can have the best system in place. If you don't have a vaccine, you can't deliver. You just can't deliver. So we're working through all of those processes. We're looking at lessons learned from other states. We're part of a 7-state collaborative within the Northeast region to see what's going on with our neighboring states and how they're doing things. And everyone is learning how to do this as they're doing it, because it is an undertaking that we have never done before. Pennsylvania, just to give you, put it into perspective, the Commonwealth itself, through our state health centers and our nurses, we administer about 1 million vaccines throughout the course of a year. And so we're trying to build a public health infrastructure to be able to deliver vaccines to as many people as possible, as quickly as possible. And that same public health infrastructure has for the last year been overwhelmed and overtaxed. Those frontline workers who have been trying to work to save us are the same ones that we're counting on right now to help vaccinate us. And so we, you know, there is at some point this will open up and it will become much easier. We know that there's a demand right now to get as much vaccine into arms as possible, but there is no one solution. There is no magic bullet. There is no magic wand to make, you know, suddenly more vaccine appear and everybody get an appointment when they need it that's convenient to their schedule. It's just, you know, at this time, we have to work through this process.
April Hutchinson is the Director of Communications for the Pennsylvania Department of Health. April, I thank you very much for being with us today.
Absolutely, Scott.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar.
For a deeper look at the changing tide of healthcare, check out WITF's Transforming Health at transforminghealth.org, a partnership of WITF, WellSpan Health, and Capital Blue Cross.
Welcome back to Smart Talk. Our guest now is Republican State Representative Timothy O'Neill of Washington County, who has a proposal to try to get vaccines out quicker and get more shots in arms. Representative O'Neill, thank you very much for being with us today. Your idea is to use the Pennsylvania National Guard to get more doses out there and more vaccinations. Tell us how that would work.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me. I think April, your previous guest here, really laid it out. That I would agree with her that this is a logistical challenge. And the reality is there is nobody better at logistics in our entire country than the United States military, and obviously specifically here in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania National Guard. This is a logistical problem to solve. And like I said, the Pennsylvania Guard are experts at doing it. My bill would direct the Guard to coordinate with both the Department of Health and Department of DHS to establish vaccination sites, vaccination clinics across the Commonwealth to ensure that the infrastructure is in place for whenever the supply does become available, whether that's today, tomorrow, or a month from now.
I understand that in West Virginia, which I used as an example before, that they are using the National Guard. Are you talking about, when you're talking about logistics, are you talking about Guard members actually administering the shots, just setting up the clinics, or what?
Well, I think it's really a matter of expertise of the individual Guard members. I don't see a reason why they can't do either or both. Certainly, the Pennsylvania Guard is already administering through the Department of Defense the vaccine to itself, and there isn't any reason they can't administer it to the general public. Certainly, at a minimum, we need to be using them to establish the distribution system. And if the decision is that we prefer healthcare providers directly in the private healthcare systems to continue to administer the vaccine and have the National Guard as a supporting role, then so be it. I don't see any reason why they can't do both.
You know, I want to go back to what the Department of Health said about this, is that the real problem is that we just don't have enough doses. Now, with that said, Pennsylvania has vaccinated less than, or used less than half of the doses that we do have. Are you saying that if the National Guard was able to help in logistics, that that percentage would rise?
I don't see any reason why it wouldn't. You know, I would agree with April that we want to ensure that these second doses are available. But again, it's a logistical thing. It's coordination. It's ensuring that you can backfill the second doses. And all of that is coordination. There's definitely some uncertainty to this. But it's a matter of ensuring that the vaccine is where you need it when you need it there. It's not a matter, or it shouldn't be a matter of ensuring that you have one sitting on the shelf indefinitely until you need it. The coordination between the state, the federal government, and each distribution site, although it's complex, it certainly is not unheard of to do this type of coordination. Businesses have been doing it for generations. The military has been doing it for generations. There isn't any reason why the state of Pennsylvania shouldn't be doing it right now.
State Representative, Republican State Representative Tim O'Neill of Washington County, thank you very much for being with us today, Representative.
Thank you for having me.
I want to turn now to Dr. John Goldman, who is an infectious disease specialist at UPMC Pinnacle, who has been a guest on our show very often before. Dr. Goldman, welcome back to the program. You know, we are almost a year into this, and the vaccine we've had for over a month now. We've heard a lot over the past 40 minutes about how slow it has been to roll out. How do you look at this as an infectious disease doctor? How do you look at the situation we're in Pennsylvania right now?
I think the way I look at this situation is that we are in the middle of an active pandemic. We're getting 2-3, sometimes as many as 5 or 6 thousand new cases a day. And we are rolling out the vaccine actually more quickly than I would have expected.
Really?
We have, I believe, nationally given out something like 30 million doses in the last month. To put that in perspective, we normally give out something like 70 or 80 million flu shot doses in the period of 4 months. That's despite the fact that this is a relatively hard to handle vaccine. The Pfizer vaccine has to be stored at negative 93, is only good for a month. The Moderna can be stored in a refrigerator, but there are things about, you know, if you take out a vial, you have to use all 10. I think this has been a tremendously difficult logistical problem. And I think that we would all like to see the vaccine go out very much quicker. On the other hand, this is actually pretty remarkable to have gotten out nearly 30 million doses nationally in less than a month, and with a vaccine that is not easy to use or handle.
That 30 million, as you said, that is a national figure. I think what we've been zeroing in on is that Pennsylvania is in the middle of the pack, or we've actually been ranked lower than that. Do you see a way that this could be speeded up in Pennsylvania, that we could get more people vaccinated?
I think the biggest way to speed this up is to get more vaccine. We're giving out the vaccine basically almost as quickly as we can get it. We have been prioritizing, we've been prioritizing healthcare workers, nursing home residents, and frontline workers. But the biggest issue that we have is not lack of demand, is not lack of an ability to give it, it's the lack of vaccine.
UPMC is not taking appointments right now. When do you anticipate you will?
When we get enough vaccine. I'm frankly not sure. What we have made a commitment to is if you get a first dose through UPMC, we will give you a second dose, because at least for now, we're convinced that that is the best way to get long-term immunity. And we are not going to schedule people for doses when we do not know that we have the vaccine on hand.
Dr. Goldman, there are now variants out there of the original virus, one from the United Kingdom and another from South Africa. Both are more contagious. The South African variant is especially worrisome because the vaccines haven't proven to be effective against it. So big picture, what do these mutations mean to the fight against COVID?
It means the fight against COVID is harder. It does not mean that the fight against COVID is impossible. So let's put this in perspective. What this means is that it is less effective. And I believe it was the AstraZeneca was, 60% versus 52 versus 66. It had about a 20% decrease in effectiveness, than I believe, against the South African strain. What that will mean is this is not an on-off switch. It is not that the vaccine works against the old version of COVID but doesn't work against the new variant. It means that it will likely be less effective. Let's put this also in perspective. The flu shot, which most of us get every year, is generally 50% effective against the flu. That compares to the Moderna and Pfizer shots, which were 95% against the old, the original COVID. And they are supposedly either not less effective or minimally less effective against the new variants. I don't know that it's been studied well. But what this will mean is that we will have to vaccinate more people. It'll take us longer to get to herd immunity. It does not mean that we will not get to herd immunity. The bottom line is that the vaccines still work. They just don't work as well.
Dr. Goldman, there is a congressman from Massachusetts who got both shots. I believe it was the Pfizer shot, but has contracted COVID. Is that unusual?
It depends on what time frame. So both Pfizer and Moderna start to have their greatest effect after about 2 weeks and give you full immunity a week after your second shot. So by about 2 weeks, both vaccines are in the 50% effective range. But the time of the second shot, at 3 or 4 weeks, they're probably 80 to 90%. And both a week after their second shot are 95%. 95% effective is not 100% effective. It means that roughly one out of every 20 times, the vaccine will fail. It's a lot better than 20 out of 20 times without the vaccine. But the vaccine isn't perfect. And unfortunately, that is why, while there is still a lot of disease in our area, we still need to wear masks. We still need to social distance. the vaccine is extremely good. It's much better than most other vaccines that we have. It's not perfect, and there's probably about a 1 out of 20 failure rate. You can still get COVID after having gotten the vaccine, but it is simply much less likely.
Dr. John Goldman is an infectious disease specialist with UPMC Pinnacle. Dr. Goldman, as always, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. We're joined now by Chuck Craze, president of the Pennsylvania Pharmacists Association and also owner of Hershey Pharmacy in Hershey. Chuck Craze, welcome to the program.
Good to talk to you again, Scott. Thank you.
All right. So what's the situation with vaccines in your pharmacy?
On the retail side at Hershey Pharmacy, we're getting small quantities. We are running clinics every Saturday afternoon, catching a couple hundred people and catching a couple 20, 30 a day, as much as we have vaccine. At our long-term care location, Hershey Care, we received a larger allocation and we are actively getting that in arms. We did 400 at Cornwall Manor Saturday. We did about 400 at Londonderry Village on Wednesday and Thursday, and I have 700 or 800 set up for Saturday morning at a clinic. Fast as we get vaccine, we're scheduling it and getting it in arms.
Are you getting enough vaccine?
No one's getting enough vaccine. There just isn't enough out there right now. I think as soon as these new vaccines, which I really anticipate approval possibly at the end of this week, by next week for sure, I think that's going to be a game changer. As the secretary or one of the members from Department of Health mentioned, I think that that is the one dose is going to be a big, big game changer. You're not having to worry about scheduling and all the things that go with that. Right now at our retail location, we have 10,000 people queued up. So obviously getting about 500 a week doesn't really work well.
10,000 and you're getting 500 a week out.
That's what we got this past week. And we're hoping to work with them to try to get a large scale clinic set up. Earlier, she talked about no one size fitting all. And I think that was a good statement. West Virginia led the country and leads the country. Why? Because they went with their community pharmacies. We're in the community. We know these people. We know how the long-term care operations work, and we can get it in their arms. So I think West Virginia was way ahead of the country in this. And I know I heard the representative and his idea with employing the National Guard, and there are certainly merits to that. But this is really still a supply issue. If we get that vaccine, we're going to do whatever it takes to get it into arms. We've been working probably 70 hours a week, 6-7 days a week. We were in yesterday for about 5 hours when I'm closed here and just organizing, relaying things out, getting ready for this week. It's really a matter of supply and demand right now.
Let's take a call from Robert in Bainbridge. Robert, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I'm sorry it's taken so long to get to, but I see that you're a retired pharmacist, and I figured I'd let you talk with Chuck Craze here about the logistics. What was your question or comment, Robert?
Yeah, I haven't talked to Chuck for years and years. Well, I'm retired and 75, diabetic, and not really worried about when I get the shot because I'll get it sometime, and the VA has communicated with me and sent me letters, and I will get the vaccine. And I was just wondering if the Department of Health or the State Board of Pharmacy has given any consideration to retired health professionals that did immunize, would volunteer, to administer the COVID. But now it seems that, the supply is not adequate, so you don't really probably need volunteer immunizer.
I don't know about that, Robert. I'm going to ask Chuck. Thank you very much for calling in. Chuck, the point that he's making, and when something, I want to tie it to what you were talking about earlier about community pharmacies administering this. Some pharmacies have done well with the staff that they have. Others have had to add staff. There also is an issue of having the equipment needed, the supplies needed, like vials and needles and all that. Getting to Robert's question, do you need more people, or maybe not you in particular, but maybe others across the state?
As we begin to gear up, we're all going to need more people. So in the pharmacy protocol, we are allowed to use pharmacists. We're allowed to use our students who have completed their schooling, but they're in their rotations. They have been a marvelous help. The biggest hole that we're still having is I have a list of several physicians and at least a half dozen nurses who have volunteered. And we have asked the government to in Pennsylvania to allow them to work under the pharmacist protocol. They're not allowed to work under the pharmacist protocol. Ohio just passed that. But you talk about a quick fix where we could get people in there who are used to doing this and under our protocol. That would be a huge help because we are getting to that point where I can see us doing a 2,500 shot clinic. We're working with the Lodge. We're working with Masonic Home, Masonic Lodge here in Hershey. Anywhere it takes where we can get the vaccine, soon as we get it, we're going to get it in arms, but it will take a lot of people. And I will get Bob on my queue there to get him back out of retirement.
Final question, Chuck. How can people get an appointment? I mean, when I heard your number that you did 500 and you have a 10,000 person waiting list, is there any advice you can give to people?
We are trying to prioritize. The hard part the issue when the state went from the way they were going to do that to the sudden change to expanding it at federal government's pushing that, but it kind of overwhelmed everybody. So we are still trying to prioritize. We're looking at teachers that fall into that group so we can get teachers on. We are still hitting healthcare professionals. We're hitting the independent living communities tied to nursing homes. So we're trying to get what we consider those that have been the most needy in this whole process. We will internally try to break that down to maybe the 75 pluses, to those with more serious conditions. And that's kind of what we're doing. We're being very careful not to waste a dose. I've had five or six people in my living room at 7 or 8 o'clock at night when I've had a vial that we tapped that we're not waste a dose. They've been healthcare workers, they've been older people, but we're just not going to waste a dose. This is a very precious commodity right now.
Chuck Ray is president of the Pennsylvania Pharmacists Association. Chuck, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks, Scott.
I want to wrap up the program with Brett Shultis, who is WITS Transforming Health reporter and has reported on this issue, the vaccine issue and COVID-19, since it began. Brett, I'm sure you've been listening over the past hour. Your thoughts, I'm kind of asking to summarize what you've heard over the past hour.
Oh, such a good show today, Scott. And I couldn't agree with Chuck more that, you know, whenever vaccine phase 1A expanded suddenly, it really left a lot of people in a situation where they had to quickly try to ramp up their ability to take in the overwhelming amount of demand. And, you know, my colleague Lisa Wortle and I put out a questionnaire online to see what people were going through as they tried to get a vaccine. And you know, sometimes we put those questionnaires out and you don't see much of a response. Well, the response has been so overwhelming and the frustration and the confusion is just rampant. You know, you have that caller, Mike, I think really summed up the way a lot of people are feeling. They're having a hard time getting vaccinated, and there's a sense of, and I'm not saying this is entirely warranted, but there's a sense of unfairness when you suddenly have such an expanded rollout of an almost free for all of everybody scrambling to get the vaccines. I mean, bottom line is I think Department of Health's April Hutchinson hit the nail on the head with the fundamental point that the demand vastly outweighs the supply right now. And that's something we're all grappling with. I know one thing I'm focusing on, Scott, is vaccine equity. The idea that, we hear stories of people getting vaccines who have perhaps a bit more access to things like connections, friends and family, even something like we might take for granted, like a computer. Older Pennsylvanians without a computer are at a disadvantage. So there's a lot of stories to be had on that front as well, Scott.
We only have about 30 seconds left, Brett. I asked April Hutchinson about centralized, and she said that even the states that have centralized systems to get appointments. What have you found in your research about that? And about 30 seconds, Brett.
Well, centralized, people want that. People want to have one place they can go to and easily get a vaccine. They don't have that right now. They get a map at the state website, and then they have to do a lot of research on their own and send a lot of emails out. So I think that would help people. I'm curious why we don't have a phone line people can just easily call and get connected with, much like we do with the Affordable Care Act rollout.
Yeah. Brett Shultz, WITS Transforming Health. Thank you very much for being with us, Brett.
Thanks, Scott. Good show.
I'm Scott Lamar. Have yourself a good day.